tonight, Brother Rufus Johnson will bring us a message, Declaration of the Cross, coming out of Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. He's located in DeSoto, Texas, over there at DeSoto Church of Christ. Brother Rufus, be ready.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Brooks. Thank you so much for inviting me to come on the program tonight. Good evening, brothers and sisters, loved ones, and friends. I'm Brother Rufus F. Johnson, minister to the North DeSoto Church of Christ. We meet for worship and other activities at 1301 North Polk Street, right here in DeSoto, Texas. I want to say a special greeting to all of the North DeSoto members who are listening tonight. If you come by and visit with us, you will understand and know why we say there is no place like this place, anywhere near this place, because this is the place. It is not our aim to amuse and entertain those who tune in to this nationwide broadcast. Our aim and objective is nothing more than simple New Testament Christians with a simple New Testament message pointing men and women to the Christ and the God of the Bible. We strive to speak where the Bible speaks and remain silent where the Bible is silent. We'd like to invite you right now to run, get your Bible, and tell a friend and an enemy that this nationwide gospel conference call is on the air. We come tonight from Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 5. If you turn to Romans chapter 5, the book of our scripture will be actually taken from Romans chapter 5. I've entitled this lesson, The Declaration of the Cross of Jesus Christ. When you look at Romans chapter 5, the happy effects of justification through faith and righteousness in Christ is verses 1 through 5, that we are reconciled by the blood of Jesus Christ, verses 6 through 11. The fall of Adam brought on mankind sin and death, verses 12 through 14. It was the grace of God, the righteousness of Christ, that has more power to bring salvation than Adam's sin had to bring misery, verses 15 through verses 19, as grace did superabound. Romans chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. These are such wonderful and powerful needed words. These are the basic facts of preaching of the gospel of Christ. When we look at this preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, all of those problems in Romans chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4, all of those struggles, all of that condemnation that Paul talked about, God has a way to deal with every last bit of it. When we have faith in Christ, God credits righteousness to us so that when we stand before God, he justifies. In other words, he declares us right with him. That happened because Jesus atoned for our sins. When we look at Romans chapter 10, verses 9, the word gospel means good news. So the gospel of Christ is the good news of his coming to provide forgiveness of sin for all who believe. Colossians 1:14, Romans 10, verse 9. Since the first man sinned, mankind has been under the condemnation of God. That's what Romans 5, verse 12 says. Because everybody breaks God's perfect law by committing sin. Everyone is guilty. Romans 3, verses 23, we all have sinned. Come short of the glory of God. The punishment for a crime of sin is physical death. Romans 6, 23, the wages of sin is death. And then an eternity spent in a place of punishment. Revelation chapter 20 and verses 15 and Matthew 25, verses 46. This eternal separation from God is also called the second death. Revelation chapter 20, verses 14 through 15. The bad news that all the guilty of sin and condemned by God is countered by the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ. God, because of his love for the whole wide world, has made a way for man to be forgiven of his sins. John 3:16. God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to take the weight of the sin of mankind on himself through death on the cross. 1 Peter 2, verse 24. And because of Christ's death on the cross, God ensured that all that will obey the gospel of Jesus Christ can be forgiven, can be saved. Acts 10, verses 43. Jesus' resurrection guarantees the justification of all who believe. Romans 4, verse 25. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and the first four verses, we learn that the gospel of Jesus Christ, Paul describes it as the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Son of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the good news that God provided the way for man to be freed from the penalty of sin. John 14, verse 6 and Romans 6, 23. And even though Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Son of God, have you ever thought about That's high level. Have you ever thought about what's really in the preaching of the gospel of Christ? What are the really items that's listed in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Son of God when you're proclaiming the gospel, when you're making a gospel presentation? That's what Paul does in Romans chapter 5. Paul basically outlines some of the itemized things that within and entailed in and wrapped up in the presentation and the preaching of the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Jesus is the best news anyone will ever hear, and what a person does with that news will determine where he spends eternity. I think of it this way. What are the parts of a basic gospel presentation? Well, my life before Christ, how I came to know Christ, and how Christ has changed my life. The gospel of Christ, the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Son of God. I want you to see tonight how Paul explains and clarifies and itemizes the gospel of Jesus Christ in the declaration of and from the cross of Jesus Christ. When we look at the cross of Jesus Christ, the high-level declaration is from Romans chapter 5, we declared war on God, and God declared us not guilty. Can you believe that the celebrity of heaven, after we went against him and declared war on him, he declared us not guilty? And so what Paul explains in the preaching of the gospel of Christ in Romans chapter 5, this verses 12 through 21, he explains that the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is the power of God unto salvation to save man. And so he explains in Romans chapter 5, Adam brought death to us. Jesus brought life. If you were to take a sheet of paper, split it right down the middle, draw a line right down the middle, put Adam on one side, put Jesus Christ on the other side, this is what you will see in the preaching of the gospel of Christ, that God's power to save, and the declaration from the cross. You will see in Romans 5, verses 12, that through Adam, sin entered the world. Through Jesus Christ, in verse 15, righteousness and life. Under Adam, in verse 14 of Romans 5, that Adam was the figure of him to come. Jesus Christ, in verse 14, he was the antitype of Adam. If you look under Adam, the offense came under Adam, verse 15. The free gift came under Jesus Christ, verse 15. Under Adam, the by one offense, by one man, the offense entered and death reigned. That's verse 17. Jesus Christ, by the free gift of righteousness, life reigned. Verse 17. By one man's disobedience, man became sinners. Verses 19. By obedience of one man, many are made righteous. Verse 19 under Jesus Christ. The declaration of the cross. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. We declared war on him, and he declared us ungodly. Look at Romans 5, verses 9. The Bible says, and since by his blood he did all this for us as sinners, how much more will he do for us now that he's been declared us not guilty? Justified and saved from the wrath of God, the blessing of justification, Romans 5, verses 1 through 11. How wonderful it is to be a Christian. Our justification is a spiritual blessing that we enjoy right here and right now. So the blessings of our justification in Romans 5, verses 1 through 11, it is a spiritual experience, it is a spiritual blessing, and it does not require obedience to the law. When God declared us righteous, he gave us seven spiritual blessings that assures us of our salvation. These seven spiritual blessings are the seven declarations from the cross that is in the proclamation and presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here are the seven declarations from the cross. I always do a final exam at the end of the lesson, but I'm going to give you the answer right now to the final exam. Here are the seven declarations from the cross from chapter 5. The first one is peace with God, chapter 5, verse 1. Second one is access to God, verses 2. The third one is the glorious hope, verses 2b. Then Christian character, strengthening our Christian character, Romans 5, verses 3 and 4. Then God's love is poured out within verses 5 through verses 8. And then salvation from future wrath, verses 9 and 10. And then reconciliation with God in verses 11. And with that, my brothers, please, with the help of your prayers, the declaration from the cross of Jesus Christ. In the first place, the peace with God, Romans 5, verses 1. The unsaved person is at war with God, Romans 5, verses 10 and Romans 8, verses 7. That's what Isaiah said, Isaiah 48, 22. No peace for the wicked. Peace is for the righteous. God Almighty understood and recognized that First of all, as we see here in Romans 5, verse 1, we have peace with God. In the second place tonight, we see that the declaration from the cross in Romans 5, verse 2a, is access to God. The Jews were kept from God's presence by the veil in the temple. The Gentiles were kept out by wall in the temple with a warning. Thank God today we stand in grace and not in the law. When Jesus died, he tore down the veil, Luke 23, verses 45, and broke down the wall of petition, Ephesians 2:14. In Christ, Jew and Gentile have access to God, Ephesians 2:18, Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 25. So the declaration of the cross is a child of the king can have direct access to God. When we look at how Paul explains it, peace with God, access to God, it is the declaration from the cross wrapped up in and embedded in the preaching and the presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the third place, declaration from the cross, Romans 5, verse 2, it is a glorious hope. Peace with God takes care of the past. He will no longer hold our sins against us. Therefore, we have what I call positional forgiveness. That is, from all of our past sins. And it puts us in the position and the location to have access to the blood of Jesus Christ that he poured out on the cross to have continuous forgiveness of sin. So the peace with God takes care of the past sins, positional forgiveness. Access to God takes care of the present and the future. While sinners, there was nothing we could rejoice about. There was nothing we could boast about. And so the forgiveness of the sins in our everyday life is experiential forgiveness. We have positional forgiveness, experiential forgiveness, and that's why John was saying in 1 John chapter 2, my little children, sin not, but when you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who is a propitiation for our sins. When we were sinners, we had nothing to rejoice about. We had nothing to boast about. Remember, we declared the war on God, and he declared us not guilty. And then we have a glorious hope, Romans 5, verses 2. There was nothing to boast about. Romans 3, verses 27, because we fell short of the glory of God. Romans 3, 23. But in Christ Jesus, we can boast, we can rejoice in his righteousness and in his glory because of what he did out on Calvary. The declaration of the cross is that we are sure that we will share in the glory of God. Thank God Almighty for that. The next declaration from the cross is the strengthening of our Christian character, Romans 5, verses 3 and 4. Justification is no escape from the trials and the tribulations of life. John chapter 16, verse 33. We're in the world, but not out of the world. If we were out of the world would love us. But for the believer, trials, tribulations, difficulties work for us and not against us. And so no amount of suffering can separate us from the Lord. Romans 8, verses 35 through 39. Neither height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ. Declaration from the cross is that trust in the Lord, because of what took place not on Calvary, is that we can make it through the trials and difficulties and know he will never leave us or forsake us. Hebrews 13, 3 and 5. Trials bring us closer to the Lord. Suffering builds and strengthens Christian character. Romans 5, verses 4. The word experience in Romans 5, verses 4 means character that has been proved, character that has been tested. If you've not been through some trials and some difficulties, you don't trust God yet. It is through the trials and the difficulties that we learn to trust God and strengthen and build our Christian character. That is a declaration from the cross. So the cross took place on the Calvary. The declaration is not just what Christ Jesus did, it's what he has an anticipatory expectation that we will do, to trust him, to have faith in him, and allow our faith to plug into his grace. So the sequence is in Romans 5. The sequence is tribulations equals to patience, and patience equals to proven tested character, and the character equals to the hope that's the anchor of the soul. As we depend on God's grace, as we depend on God for the little things in life and the medium-sized things in life, trials only purify us. and help us to get rid of the things that are unneeded. Trials, tribulation, hardship is a tool that builds and strengthens Christian character. The declaration from the cross is that when we go through trials and tribulations, trusting and depending upon the grace of God, they work for us and not against us. And that's why he says in Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good, them that love God and who are called according to his purpose. The next declaration from the cross is God's love being poured out within us on a daily basis. Romans 5, verses 5 through verses 8. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, as the wise man says in Proverbs 13, verses 12. As we wait for this hope as an anchor of the soul to be fulfilled, the love of God is poured out into our hearts, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. Romans 5, verses 1. Romans 5, verses 5, God's love within. Before we were saved, God demonstrated and proved his love for us by sending Christ Jesus to die for our sins, according to the scripture, to be buried and to rise again the third day, according to the scriptures, to be in heaven now distributing spiritual blessings, and will come back one day. Now that we are his children, surely he will love us much more. It is the inner experience of this love through the Spirit that sustains us as we go through trials and tribulations in life. This faith in Romans 5 verses 1, this hope in Romans 5 verses 2, this love in Romans 5 verses 5, all combine to give the believer patience in the trials of life. And patience makes it possible for the believer to grow in his Christian character and to mature. James chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. We know that God loved us while we were sinners. That is assurance that he loves us more now that we've been saved. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that the believer should not perish but have eternal life. The declaration of the cross is that we never lose hope because of the love that God demonstrated in sending his Son to die for us while we were sinners. That is the declaration from the cross. In the next place, the next declaration from the cross is the salvation from future wrath, Romans chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. Paul argues from the lesser to the greater. He says, his argument is, if God saved us when we were enemies of him, if God saved us when we declared war against him, surely he will keep on saving us now if we're his children. There is a wrath to come, salvation from the wrath to come, but no believer will experience it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, and also chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. When the good Lord comes back with his angels and his fire, he's going to be seeking vengeance on them who know not God and who obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. But because he lives, we are eternally saved based upon the condition that we keep on walking in the light, that he's in the light. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 23 through 25. God has the ability to save us from the uttermost to the uttermost. Jesus Christ wrote us in his will, and he wrote the will and signed it with his own blood. Luke chapter 23, verses 20. This is the blood of the New Testament, he said. Salvation from future wrath. Christ died, Christ was buried, and Christ rose again. Thus the will is now in force. But he arose and he returned to heaven that he might enforce the will himself and distribute the inheritance. My brothers and sisters, loved ones and friends, the declaration of the cross is that we're saved from future wrath by his life, by what he did, by what took place out of Calvary. That is the declaration from the cross. The next declaration from the cross is reconciliation with God. This is Hebrews 5, verse 11. That word atonement means reconciliation. In other words, brought us back into fellowship with God. Paul explains that we declared war on God, and he declared us not guilty. Reconciliation with God is a declaration from the cross because of what took place out of Calvary. So he brought us back in fellowship with God. God has a remedy for sin, but God has no remedy for rebellion. In Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32, Paul explained how men had declared war on God, how they had gone where men were wanting men and women wanting women. They were doing all kinds of things that were unnatural, declared war on God. You would have expected if it was a human being, we would retaliate. We would get them back. But God declared us not guilty. And because of this, because Paul explains in Romans 1, 18 through 32, how man had declared war on God, and because of that, he actually lays out how we deserve to be condemned eternally. But you know what God did? When we declared war on God, when man declared war on God, God sent his son as a peacemaker, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 18, that men might be reconciled to God. And so as we review these seven declarations from the cross, they are spiritual blessings that God Almighty has given us. These seven declarations from the cross is how Paul outlined the presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, how that Christ died and was buried and rose again, and now is in heaven at the right hand of God, distributing those blessings. But he's coming back one day, and there's going to be a wrath, a consequence for those who will not obey this gospel of Jesus Christ. So as we review these seven blessings of justification, show how certain salvation is in Christ. That is, if you obey Christ, if you continue to be faithful to Christ, if you continue to walk in the light. Totally apart from the law, by God's grace, we have a salvation that takes care of the past, a salvation that takes care of the present, a salvation that takes care of the future. Christ died for us. Christ lives for us. Christ is coming back for us. I say hallelujah, what a Savior. The declaration of the cross is that we were brought back into fellowship with God. We were reconciled back to God. Now, are you ready for the final exam? The seven declarations from the cross of Christ. Spiritual blessings of justification from Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. The seven spiritual blessings, the seven declarations from the cross that assures us of our salvation and will assure anybody, if they're willing to accept the gospel of Jesus Christ and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, peace with God, verses 1, access to God, verses 2, the glorious hope, verses 2b, Christian character being strengthened, verses 3 and 4, God's love being poured out in our lives on a daily basis, verses 5 and 8, salvation from future wrath, verses 9 and 10, reconciliation with God, verses 11. My brothers and sisters, loved ones and friends, these are the declarations from the cross of Christ. Remember, we as human beings declared war on God, but God declared us not guilty. If you never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm begging you tonight, I'm imploring you tonight, I'm begging you to hear God's word, Mark 4:29, and believe it, John 8:24, and repent of your sins, Luke 13:3-5, and confess Christ Jesus, Matthew 10:32, and then be buried in the watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sin, letting the Lord add you to the church. It is the Lord's church. It is the New Testament church. It is the church of Christ. It is the church that is loved by Christ. It's headed by Christ, ruled by Christ, sanctified, glorified, purified by Christ. And it is the church that one day will be saved by Christ. It is the church that's rock bottom, it's spirit filled, it's blood bought, it's fireproof, and it's bound for all the promised land. To my brothers and sisters, the members of the body of Christ, I beg you, honor the preaching and the proclaiming and the presentation of the gospel of Christ as Paul outlines in Romans chapter 5. We have spiritual blessings. There are declarations from the cross of Christ because of what he did, what took place out of Calvary's mountainside. Take the Bible as your guide. Live faithfully and obediently unto death. God will always keep his promises. Back to you, Brother Brooks.